mind it at all. We're enjoying life, and God's been so good to us. And did you see me scoot over there beside Dorothy a while ago? She had her coat in between the seat, and I was sitting over here, and I said, we better move that. Folks may think we're mad, so I scooted over next to her. Amen. I don't know where you all saw that or not, but we're just trying to be careful about everything, all right? So it's so good to be here tonight. If you'll open your Bible up, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. For you folks that was coming here when the former pastor asked me to teach on the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights, and I did that in, I don't know, about a year, I think, and I don't know whether you remember where I stopped that or not. Does anyone remember where I stopped that? I stopped in Revelation chapter 19. So I thought, I'm going to pick up on that tonight. So we're going to preach about the first three verses in Revelation chapter 20. And such a blessing here. And the big part about it is that there's an angel coming from heaven. We believe that angel is Jesus. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to chain up the devil. Amen. Throw him in the bottomless pit. And then there will be peace on this earth. Amen. That's what's wrong with our world today. Sin. Isn't it amazing we blame people? We blame politicians. We blame this person, that person, and this, there. But it's the devil's fault. The devil's behind it all. If we get rid of him, we'll be all right. Amen? So that's biblical speaking. But people can't grasp that. They still think it's my fault or your fault or Smith's fault, Jones's fault, whoever. I hope no Smith and Jones is here tonight, but it's the devil that's behind it all. And if we get rid of him, we'll be all right. One of these days, thank God, we'll get rid of him. And such a blessing to be able to think about that. So I'm going to speak about chaining up the deceiver tonight, chaining up the devil. Let me have a word of prayer, and we'll read the first three verses in Revelation chapter 20 and speak to you tonight. I don't know what time you're usually out. I forgot to ask the pastor, probably 8 or 9 probably or something like that. I'm not sure when. But we'll get you out of here for snack time, all right? Our Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you for what you've done in giving your Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the privilege of serving you and living for you. Thank you for this church, Independent Baptist Church, one of the leading Independent Baptist churches in the area and around in the state. So, Father, I pray that you'd bless Pastor Goodwin and his family, give them a good vacation, bring them safely back, give them safety as they travel. Lord, that you would anoint him with fresh oil from heaven and that you would use him here at this place and the people get behind him. And Lord, even greater things might be done for the cause of Christ. Now be with us tonight. Lord, help us forget about the troubles of the world and center our affections upon thee. And we'll thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. Of course, the Apostle John is the writer of this book. And he says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should, notice this, that he should deceive the nations no more. That's the reason I say the devil's behind it all. He's deceiving the nations. It says that twice, also over in one of the other verses right after that, in verse, I saw it somewhere over here, I read it this afternoon, how that he deceives the nations. And we don't realize what the devil does and how he manipulates and moves people. But said he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that, he must be loosed a little season. I don't understand that. My president of the college and our pastor, when I went to college, he said, somebody asked him one time, he said, well, God had him all chained up, threw him in the bottomless pit, and he let him loose a little time. The second time, why did he do that? our pastor said, I don't know. I don't know why he laid him loose the first time. You know? So, but this is biblical, and there's a reason for all of that. But, you know, as we were talking about in before in Revelation chapter 4, God told John to come up hither. That's a picture of the rapture. They're raptured out, and then the Antichrist is revealed, and then the tribulation period starts along that time. And right after the rapture, during the tribulation period, sometime in that 7 years, there will be the judgment seat of Christ, which is 2 Corinthians 5:10. Paul said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we give an answer to everything that we've done in our body since we've been saved, whether good or bad. And that's only for saved people. It's only for born-again people. The great white throne judgment is over 1,000 years later, only for the unsaved. But the judgment seat of Christ takes place, and then another part of the blessing is the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place. And, you know, when you have a wedding down here on this earth, the bride gets all the attention. Beautiful white dress represents purity and everything. But in heaven, it's not the bride that gets the honor. It's the Lamb. It's the groom. It makes a lot of difference. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the bride, the church is, and we're going to marry the groom after the rapture. So we're looking forward to that wonderful time. And then at the end of the tribulation period, you know, as the nations get together and come in against Jerusalem and the Lord, the Antichrist is behind all of that. And then in Revelation chapter 19, it talks about Christ getting on his white horse. And we're going to get on the white horse following him. And he comes back and he fights the battle of Armageddon. And with his mouth, with the sword, with the word, he slays everybody. All the nations, all the animals, and that's where the blood flows up to the horse's bridle and so forth. The battle of Armageddon takes place there. And then, of course, there's a burial and different things along that line. And then the Lord, he chains up the Antichrist and the false prophet, which is the false spirit. Tells us that if you look in your Bible there, chapter 19, verse 20. After all this, the battle of Armageddon takes place. And then chapter 19, verse 20 says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, that's the Antichrist and the Antispirit, the false prophet, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, the lake of fire is the final resting place. The bottomless pit is not the final resting place. People come out of the bottomless pit. Matter of fact, you can read back to chapter 2 before where the beast came out of the bottomless pit. We talked about that quite a bit and who that might be. Some of you may remember that and just give you some speculation. But here, the beast and the false prophet is cast in the lake of fire. And we find out 1,000 years later, over 1,000 years later, that we find that the Satan here that is in the bottomless pit is taken out of the bottomless pit, let loose for a little season, and then he's cast in the lake of fire. And the amazing thing is, if you look there in verse 10, it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The beast and the false prophet's been in there for over 1,000 years, and they're not burned up. Just because people go to hell doesn't mean they're annihilated. They're done away with. People's going to live there forever. Ever and ever and ever. Lake of fire is going to be forever. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, the Bible talks about. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad I know the Lord, because he has a place in heaven for us. But how amazing that is, that one of these days that where the beast and the false prophet are, all the unsaved, all the liars and different things it talks about later in the Bible. And it talks about here where the devil will eventually end up in the lake of fire. After several years of time and spatially after the 7 year of tribulation, this deceiver is chained up. As it talks about here in chapter 20, Christ comes to this earth, and the forces here of Antichrist, they're defeated. And now comes the calm after the storm. We've had the storm, and now it becomes peaceful. Why? Because Satan is chained up, thrown into the bottomless pit, and there's peace on this earth. Because the Prince of Peace has come back, and he's done it all, you see. There'll never be peace on the earth until the Prince of Peace comes back. We all know that. But we don't act like it sometimes. We think this person will bring peace, and this person will bring peace, and this one, this one, this one, this one. But it'll never happen until Jesus comes back. World's going to get worse, not going to get better. I remember hearing some old timers used to say, well, world's going to get better. No, it won't. It's going to get worse. We might as well prepare ourselves for that. We might as well get ready for the rapture. Amen? The Lord's coming, and we'll be raptured out and go to be with him. So this is the calm after the storm, after the tribulation period. And the Bible says these 7 years of tribulation, there has never been a time like it before. There will never be a time like it again afterwards. Just this 7 year period. And we won't be here on this earth. The Lord comes. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. It's a comforting thought, eh? He's not coming all the way back to earth at the rapture. He's going to stop in the cloud. We're going to meet him. But at the actual second coming, when he rides the white stallion, he's coming back and his feet lands upon the Mount of Olives, and the mountain cleaves in the midst, probably a big earthquake. And that's where that takes place there. So I don't want to get off the subject a little bit. I get excited about that, about prophecy and about those things. So the reason is very simple, because this angel, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, comes from heaven with a key. You notice that? With a key and a chain. He has the key to the bottomless pit in verse 1. Has a great chain. The devil's not going to be able to break that chain. And he seizes this dragon, this old serpent, the devil, and he binds him for 1,000 years by casting him into this bottomless pit and shuts him up and seals him. And all this is done to prevent Satan from deceiving the nations anymore. And there'll be peace upon this earth. In Revelation, the Lord Jesus is seen several times as an angel. We can find that in many times. And if you were here when I was teaching through Revelation, we pointed those things out. And Jesus is the only one who has the power to change Satan. Nobody else can do it except Jesus himself. He's the one that has all power. It was given to him. All power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. He has the power. It's the reason we need to trust him. It's the reason we need to follow him. The reason we need to look to him, get our eyes on Jesus, and he'll solve all of our problems if we do that. You know, a lot of time we try to solve our own problems. We can't solve them. But Jesus can. Jesus can take care of all of those things. It's kind of amazing. Now, you all know this, but if you're just starting to read the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, it talks about the serpent. If I ask you, who is the serpent? You all know who the serpent is. But did you know this? I didn't know this till after I went into ministry. Actually, Sunday I celebrated 54 years. Amen. Sunday. Amen. 54 years in the ministry. And that's a blessing. I don't know. I didn't think I'd preach over 4 minutes. But, you know, 54 years the Lord's allowed me and Dorothy being in the ministry. But nowhere in the Bible does it tell who the serpent is until you come all the way through the Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Look at verse 2. Chapter 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now we know the serpent is the devil. But you know it because you've heard somebody preach on it. You didn't read it in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Samuel, Isaiah. You didn't read any of that anywhere till you come all the way. This is the reason the devil hates the book of Revelation so much. And this is the reason he tells you and me that it's hard to understand. We have a great teacher. In John 14, 15, and 16, it tells the Holy Spirit is our teacher. If we will fall in love with Him and get close to Him, He can teach us the things in the Bible. But the devil spreads all kind of propaganda. Well, you can't understand the book of Revelation. It's too hard. Or the book of Daniel. It's too hard. Well, you can't read and understand the King James Bible because it is just too hard to understand. Got to have something else. That's what the devil says. But that's not true. Did you know the King James Bible is written? They say, I'm not that smart, but they say it's written on a fifth grade education. People can't understand it because they don't want to study. The Bible says much study is weariness of the flesh. Solomon said that. Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Most folks don't want to study the Bible. Most folks don't even want to read it. That's the reason they have so many problems. If we read the Bible and study the Bible, well, I'll just listen to the preacher. I'll find out what he says. You can't understand the Bible if you get it second-handed. So tonight, you're getting it second-handed. You're getting it from me. But you need to get it first-handed, directly from God, by reading and studying the Word of God. It'll stick with you then. It's like I've often teased folks. I said, it's like you sit down to a nice dinner, steak and mashed potatoes and gravy and all that stuff. And here it sits, and I say, hey, let me eat that for you. We'd have a fight on our hands, wouldn't we? But you see, if you let someone else eat your food, it's not going to help you any. So that's what's happening today. People, you know, I'm going to preach and leave tonight, but anyhow, people are lazy. People are lazy. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to study it. It's hard work. I can't understand it. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. We need to read. Dr. Lester Roloff, you said, we don't need another Bible, we just need re-Bible. Re-Bible, that means read it again, read again, read again, read again. Read it over and over. The devil means accuser, and Satan means adversary. Turn back to Revelation, hold your place, turn back to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. There's two verses here, and here's the other one. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So it's important for us to see, it's not until the book of Revelation that we find who the serpent is in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3. And verse 1, if you find out, let me know, but I've never found it out yet. But that old serpent was the devil. One of the reasons the devil hates this book of Revelation is because this book exposes him and tells who he is. And that's the reason he tells you and me and everybody else, well, you can't read Revelation. It's too hard to understand. Or you can't read the Bible because you can't understand it. Don't ever let the devil trick you and deceive you into that again. You can understand it if you'll read it and ask God and let the Holy Spirit interpret for you. You say, well, you know, you've been to college. College has nothing to do with it. I remember when I went to college in 1969, one of the preachers where we're from, Southern Ohio, said, well, John Hankins, he's going to college. He must not even be saved. He's going to learn how to preach, you know. But I was saved when I was 10 years of age. That wasn't true, but somehow people think you go to college to get real smart and everything. But you know, Paul, God took Paul out in the desert, didn't he? And he taught him personally. If you'll let God take you in that quiet place, you say, I don't have time. I remember our pastor used to say, if you don't have time for God, you just have to make time. If you're too busy for God, then you're just too busy. We've got to spend time with Him. Got to spend time with the one who died for us. Some good quality time and love Him. You say, you don't understand. I'm so busy. I work so many hours. You got the same minute hours in a week that I got. 168 hours in a week. What do we do with all those? Well, you got to work, got to sleep, got to play, got to watch television, got to do this and that and so forth. But we have to take time. Come along and spend some time with the Lord. It shows where He is and who He is and where He'll wind up. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 that I just read, the devil is going to end up in the lake of fire eventually. And this is why the devil spreads so much propaganda that it's too hard to understand. It's too hard to serve the Lord. We'll leave it up to someone else and we'll get it off of them. The devil doesn't want you to know that he's a loser. We're on the winning side. Amen. I checked the back of the book. We come out winners. The devil's a loser. He's the one that goes to the lake of fire. We're the one that goes to heaven. Makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? We're on the winning side. What is the answer to sin and getting rid of the devil? It is giving our life to Him and trusting Him and depending upon Him fully of all these things. These verses here contains God's solution to the evil in the world today. You've heard me preach, a lot of you. Some of you haven't. You've heard me teach. You know, I have the same message I had 54 years ago, that Jesus is the answer to everything. And we say, well, boy, if we could just get this person, we'd get to get this one, and boy, if this and that and so forth. The solution is not in the environment. The solution is not education. And I agree with what was said tonight about praying for our government. I pray for the government every night. I pray for our president, all the leaders, not by name, but the leaders. I pray for the city of Washington, D.C., every night before I go to sleep. I pray for them. I'm here to say our government's not the answer either. I don't care who's in office is not the answer. Changing the environment does not change man's heart. Only the blood of Jesus Christ will do that. And we must understand that we try to use crutches and use different things to solve man's problems today. Even in America, I'm glad I'm an American citizen. It's the greatest country, greatest place on the face of the earth, I think. But the only answer is Jesus. And one of these days, He's coming back. He's going to chain the devil up. He's going to chain Satan up and throw him into that bottomless pit. Did you know that Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and made Eve out of his rib, did you know that they were living as perfect people and they were living in a perfect environment? You say, well, boy, if we just had this taken care of and we just had this and boy, America would be a lot different. America will never be different until Jesus comes. Why? Because man's in charge of it. Adam and Eve was perfect, and they lived in a perfect environment, and they still sinned. Why? Because God gave them a free will. They could choose what they wanted to do. That's the reason in chapter 3 and verse 15, God took an animal and slew an animal and covered Adam and Eve and their fig leaves and their nakedness. And that's the first place the blood is shed in the Bible, referring to the Lord Jesus coming, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. People say, well, I don't know. I just don't agree with all that, preacher. Hey, it's not whether you agree with me or not. It's whether you agree with God or not in this Bible. This Bible is the final authority, not you, not me. I'm not the final authority. But this Bible is the final authority. It has the final say in everything. And we need to get back to the Bible. in order that righteousness and peace might thrive on this earth, and the devil must be removed. And one of these days is going to happen. One of these days, the Lord's coming back. He's going to rapture us out. And then the tribulation period. Then he's coming back, the battle of Armageddon. And then he's going to chain Satan up and throw him into that bottomless pit. Do you know what exalts a nation? Could I give you a verse of scripture? Proverbs, I believe it's chapter, I didn't look it up, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. What is it that exalts a nation? What is it that makes a nation great? Anyone know? Righteousness. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach. And the only way that we can have the righteousness in our nation is the real righteous person come back and straighten things up for us. Every time we put our two cents in, we mess it up. But the Lord is able to straighten our homes up. He's able to straighten our lives up. Our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah said. He's the only one who can straighten our heart up. Amen. He's the only one who can save us. He's the only one to take care of marriages. He's the only one to take care of our homes and our individual lives. He's the only one that can take care of a church. That's the reason we need to get our eyes up on him. The devil's imprisonment is the bottomless pit. Did you know the bottomless pit is mentioned 7 times in the book of Revelation? If you got a pencil and paper, I'll give them to you real quickly. I don't have time to turn. I would take too long here tonight, but if you'd like to have them, look them up. In the book of Revelation, mentioned 7 times about the bottomless pit. And that's exactly where the beast came out of. Where is the bottomless pit, Brother? I believe it's in somewhere in the heart of the earth. It may be that great gulf that is fixed in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man Lazarus and about the rich man and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. The great gulf fixed that no man could pass over. I personally believe that's probably the bottomless pit. You have no bottom in it. Have you ever thought about the volcanoes that we've been having, they keep getting more and more? Do you ever wonder where all that fire and lava that shoots thousands of feet up in the earth? Wonder where that comes from. It comes out of the heart of the earth. I believe hell's in the heart of the earth. I believe the lake of fire is going to be there. And I believe the bottomless pit probably is that gulf that is fixed, where God puts that person in there and seals them up until he wants to get them out. I was just thinking this afternoon, I was studying a little bit on this, and you know you can get out of the bottomless pit, but you can't get out of the lake of fire. Once you're in the lake of fire, you're in there forever. There may be someone here tonight who's not truly saved. Maybe you depend on your baptism. Maybe you depend on church membership. Maybe you depend on being a good moral person, which we certainly need good moral people today. Maybe you depending on your good works, how good you are. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. All of our righteousness is a filthy rag. We have no righteousness except Christ's righteousness. He's the one that saved us, amen. You may be here tonight, and this may be the last message that you'll ever hear. You may be in a bank next time. You say, Brother Hanger, are you threatening folks? No, I'm just trying to get folks reality. This could be your last day on the face of the earth. This could be the last message I'll ever preach. You might never ever hear another one. But if you're not truly saved and born again, you can come tonight, and we can take the blessed book and show you how to be saved. How you can change your destiny just like that. You can't save yourself, but I know someone that can save you if you'll repent of your sin and say, Lord, I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. I believe that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and I accept him into my heart. And Lord, please save me and give me a home in heaven. And you hath eternal life. John 5:24. Just like that. Amen. You can't get saved on your own. My spirit shall not always strive with man, but if the Spirit's striving with you and convicting you tonight, you can come and get saved. And you can have that home in heaven. So you can't get out of the lake of fire once people go to the lake of fire. But you can get out of the bottomless pit. The beast got out of the bottomless pit. Lord put him in there. And by the way, who's the beast? I believe the beast is the Antichrist. The false prophet. He is the false spirit. They imitate. Beast imitates Christ. That's the reason he's called Antichrist. Anti means against. He's against Christ. And then the anti-spirit, the false prophet, is a false spirit. And they're both, it talks about in verse chapter 19 and verse 20, they're both cast alive in the lake of fire. And he brought the beast out of the bottomless pit. Tells us back in a little bit earlier than that. And how important that is to understand. So here's where the bottomless pit is mentioned. I said I'd mention them to you if you're interested in. Chapter 9, verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 2. Chapter 9, verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 7. Chapter 17, verse 8. Chapter 20, verse 1, and chapter 20, verse 3. Seven times the bottomless pit is mentioned in the book of Revelation. I'm not sure whether it's mentioned anywhere else in the Bible or not, but it's mentioned seven times. The Lord's number is seven, amen? Number of completion. So the Lord wants us to understand exactly what's going on. And this is not the lake of fire. It is the bottomless pit. Where the Lord is going to, where he put the beast and the false prophet, he brought them out and then eventually cast them in the lake of fire alive. Did you notice that in verse 20 there, in chapter 19, verse 20? These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. And then he's going to chain the devil up. Thank God. You ought to put amen outside of that in your Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. The devil is chained up. And he's going to be chained up for at least 1,000 years. Then the Lord's going to let him loose for a little season. You'll find that over in chapter 20, verse 7. And it says, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. It compares with the last part of verse 3. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. The word thousand is mentioned six times in chapter 20, starting at verse 2, going down through verse 7, the word thousand. I believe in the millennial kingdom. It's 1,000 years of peace that we'll rule and reign with Christ. And that we'll have our glorified body. The earth will not be destroyed yet. That will not be destroyed till after the millennial kingdom. When God lets Satan loose for a little season. And you know what he does? It looks like, I remember my dad used to tell me when I was young, he said, son, look like you'd learn a lesson. You know, and sometimes I wouldn't learn, I'd do the same thing again. You never do that, you know. You never repeat those things, do you? But my dad used to say, son, you should have learned a lesson by that mistake. It looks like the devil would have learned a lesson by his mistake. That Jesus came and chained him up, threw him into that bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then he loosed a little season. Wonder what he did when God let him loose for a little season. Now, a little season could mean 1 year. You know, it talks about in Daniel, a season, seasons, and a half a season, which is 3.5 years. Could be 3.5 years, but it just says here, he loosed for a little season, the end of part of verse 3. It could be a year, or it could be 3.5 years. I kind of waver in between that. But what's he going to do? Has he learned a lesson? Let me show you something in chapter 20 and verse 8. Chapter 20 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Isn't that amazing? He didn't learn a lesson. He got out of the bottomless pit, and he goes out and starts deceiving nations. And the sad part is, a lot of folks start following him again as the sand of the sea. A number of them, they start following him. So what's he going to do now? He wants to attack Jerusalem. He wants to destroy Jerusalem because that's where Christ has headquarters been during the millennial kingdom. He rules and reigns from Jerusalem. I love Israel. Amen. I love the Jews. I love Israel. I stand up for Israel. Yeah, they may cheat and they may lie and maybe a lot of them not saved or anything, but it's God's chosen people. It's the nation, and I love Israel, and I stand up for them as much as I possibly can, every opportunity I get, because it's God's people. And one of these days, God's going to give all that land all the way over to Iraq, going to give that back to Abraham one of these days. He promised that land. But here, I've got to kind of wipe this, kind of get this together and close this. It's 8:05 already. So don't go to sleep on me, all right? So Satan is let out. He goes out and starts deceiving nations. He gets a whole bunch of people to follow him. Have you ever heard people, especially on the news, and I've heard preachers say this, the last battle on the earth is the battle of Armageddon. That's not true. That's a lie. There's one more battle after the battle of Armageddon. You'll know what it is? Glad you asked. Let me show you. Look at verse 9. Remember, he's let loose. The devil is. Satan, deceiving the nations. He's got a number of folks following him. Verse 9 says in chapter 20, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints, that's where we are, about, and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem. They're wanting to destroy Jerusalem and all the saints. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's the last battle right there. When Satan's got all these folks as the sand of the sea following him, going to attack Jerusalem and all the saints and get rid of them once and for all, God sends fire down from heaven. And what did it say? Came down from heaven, God out of heaven, and devoured them. And then I got to close with this. Look at verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Let me ask you a question. How long has the beast and the false prophet been in the lake of fire? Over 1,000 years, that's right. And they're not burned up. They're still alive. It says over in chapter 19, verse 20, they're cast alive into the lake of fire. And they've been in there all that time, and they're still alive. And it says here, the devil is cast in there with them. And it says, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. Satan's disposition is a thief, he's a deceiver, a liar, a murderer. He seeketh whom he may devour, the Bible talks about. He wants to sow false doctrine in churches and in people's lives. He wants to send a smoke screen in people's minds. He wants to slander the brethren. He wants to sift and test the Christians like he did Peter. Remember, Jesus said, Peter, I prayed for you. Satan desired to sift you as wheat. That's what he wants to do with us. But Jesus, when we trust him, depend upon him, put him in between. Remember when I was in college, one of our professors said, be careful, preachers, when you go out and pastor, the devil may come into your church and you may call on him to pray. But if the devil knocks on your door, send Jesus to answer. Don't answer it yourself. I thought that was pretty good advice. Not saying any of you folks are the devil. I didn't say that, but I just said the devil works through people. Did you know that? You know how God gets his work done? Through people. You know how the devil gets his work done? Through people. So we have to be careful. That's the reason John said, try the spirits. How important that is. We must listen to God. He tries to pervert the word of God. Thank God that your pastor, Brother Goodman, stands on the King James Bible. That's what I was saved on. That's what Dorothy and I were saved on back in 1948. Both of us saved in 48. And I've never questioned our old pastor, Brother Brammer. Probably had a fourth grade great education. He used to roll his sleeves, put them sleeves up. He had these elastic things around, and he put them sleeves up and like that. I remember just a little one-room country pot-bellied stove church. We were both saved in different churches, but both of us one room. We got married in a one-room country church, and pot-bellied stove in the middle. And Brother Brammer used to get up, and he said, "Where God put a period, don't you dare put a question mark." Yes, sir. If God said it, that settles it. He doesn't need my approval. We used to say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's not true. God said it, that settles it. He doesn't need my approval. But thank God this book stands. This book will always be. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. Amen. This word, this is Jesus. Did you ever know that? The living word and the written word. Same thing. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. This is Jesus. Treat him as such. Love this book. Love this Bible. Defeat the devil. Say, devil, get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you. I'm claiming the blood of Christ. I'm claiming his word. And I'm about through. But the only way you can defeat the devil is through the truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, you know, I am the way, truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. What's the rest of that verse? Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Look it up. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thank you for letting me come tonight. I got that off my chest. I feel better. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. I want to give an invitation with the pianist come, and we'll pick out an invitation, at least sing two verses. And I'm not a smart aleck. I'm just a preacher that loves Jesus and knows that time is getting short. And what we do, we must do quickly. If you're here tonight, you're not saved. Won't you come and let us take the Bible? Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't been scripturally baptized by immersion. I had a person came forward one time and said, I want to join church. I said, well, have you been saved? Yes. Have you been baptized? Yes. I said, how were you baptized? Well, they had a hose in the back, and I just walked in under it and sprinkled me, and I was baptized. That's not biblical baptism. Baptism is immersion. You believe in Jesus died, buried. He rose again. So it's by immersion. Maybe you need a church home. Don't talk to me about it, but when the pastor gets back, you need to talk to him about that. Maybe you have something in your life tonight. Maybe the Holy Spirit has taken and just gouged you, pricked your heart. Might be something in your life you need to get rid of tonight. Would you do it? Would you allow God to work in your life? Not what I said, but if the Holy Spirit's working in your life, then that's what you need to do. Our Father in heaven, we love you and thank you for what all you've done. Bless this invitation. May your will be done. Here in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand if you will, please. What page do we have? 308. 308. 308. Let me just turn there real quickly, and if you want to turn to 308 and sing, we'll sing a couple verses, and then we'll get ready to close. But if you need to come, would you do it? I surrender all as we sing.